Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
One of the things that they tell you to do in this business, if you want to be successful as a talk show host, is to localize. I will concede that Andrew Filippone, who usually sits in the chair across from me and sort of sets the table, so to speak, mainly so that I can mess it all up in service of, you know, saying whatever the hell I want, he loves to localize. Very good at localization. Localizing means if there's a big national story of relevance, generally speaking, on a local sports talk show, your listeners might not necessarily care about it, but they would care about something local that was related to it. And so it is in that spirit that we had, granted, a little bit of local interest in the NBA Finals. TJ McConnell trying to will the Pacers back in Game 7 to complete what would have been one of the biggest upsets in league history after Halliburton went down. We ultimately had the NBA Finals end in a Thunder victory in 7 games. That was how it was supposed to go. The fact that a Pittsburgh high school basketball product played a very central role and had like guys like Patrick Beverley saying that if the Pacers win, McConnell should be the MVP. That was icing on the cake, right? The localized version of that topic, I saw it happen on this show, Don. I think it happened last week. Or no, it would have happened yesterday, I guess. Because the NBA Finals Game 7 was Saturday. I think it happened on the morning show as well on Monday. It might have even happened with Joe and Pomp yesterday. I'm not positive. What happened was that story got localized because everybody was following the playbook. And the local angle on the NBA champion being crowned was, which Pittsburgh team is closest to a title? Which Pittsburgh team, Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, is closest to winning a title? It is not a bad question. I am not saying this to mock anybody for doing this. It's what you should do in this business. That part wasn't sarcastic at all. My only thought as I saw this stuff, as I was wrapping up vacation and traveling back, was this. What are we doing? We shouldn't eat championship. I feel like Jim Mora. Titles? What team's closest to a championship? We need to win a freaking playoff game. Titles? That was my actual reaction. Seriously. I just thought, man, at no point in my job, in my tenure on the air here, has it ever felt like that question is more inappropriate. Let me just count the ways. And I just got done saying I think the Steelers are going to have a surprisingly solid year with Rodgers. I think that whole situation, this doesn't change my opinion on Rodgers and his interactions with them. I think that whole situation is going to go a lot better than people think it will, than I thought it would when he first got inked or when the rumors started to fly that he was going to sign here. But thinking that Aaron Rodgers is going to do a pretty solid job is a far cry from thinking that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win a Super Bowl or are even closer than the other two teams in town. To wit, you haven't seen Aaron Rodgers play, but like, let's start with up through last year. Would you have rather had the Steelers in a close game be up 7 and trying to protect, or up 5 and trying to protect a lead last possession of the game on defense, or rather had them have the ball with a 5-point deficit trying to go down the field and score? If you answered, I'd rather have had their defense on the field, guess what? Bad news for you. They're not close to winning. Any team that's worth a crap basically wants to be trying to get that lead. The Eagles, who were, I think, leaps and bounds better top to bottom as a roster than anybody in the NFL this past year and won the whole thing. What happened when they played the Rams, Don? They were trying to protect a lead. That team had to hang on for dear life against a depleted Rams team in the freaking snow because the Rams had a quarterback who was cooking. Steelers don't have that. They have not won a playoff game since the 2016 season. The Penguins have not won a playoff series to move to hockey since 2018. We are dealing with nearly as long of a drought and several very humiliating playoff defeats in between for both teams. The Pirates have not won a playoff series since 1979. They have the best pitcher in the sport. They have like three or four other solid starters. They have good enough bullpen arms. They are how many games under 500 right now? 16? 17? Did I shortchange them? Are they only 15? No, they're 16. The Penguins have the 11th and 12th picks in the draft. You heard that in Donnie's headlines. The Rangers decided to give them this year's pick. They will pick back-to-back. They've got a second. They've got a bunch of thirds. If you watch the Stanley Cup final, you know how far away they are, even with Sidney Crosby, from being at the top of that heap. They have one of the best players in the league still, but they were 11 points out of the last playoff spot in the East. There are only seven teams in the entire NHL with fewer points than them. So the Steelers don't have a quarterback long-term. The Penguins need like a legitimate roster overhaul where they're adding a ton of young players. And the Pirates nominally should be the closest because for at least the next couple of years, they have that which every team craves, a true frontline bona fide ace. And they have it on a ridiculously team-friendly deal. And they have built a team that has won 32 of their first 80 games. With that guy as the centerpiece this year. Oh, and by the way, the pitcher that was supposed to come up and make the staff even better has like an 11 ERA in June in the minor leagues. Whoops. Whoops. So I ask again, has everybody gone insane? It almost feels cruel to even ask the question of which team is closest to a title. Can I answer? The problem with all the poll questions was nobody just put none of the above.
That's too easy of a cop-out, Malzie. I did this yesterday, and I was not putting none of the above for that reason. Because that should get 100% of the vote.
It just, it does, I guess like my topical thought on this is, it does feel like when you see what it takes to win a title, right? Like the Panthers are a wagon in the NHL, man. They were impressive as hell. Would you agree? I don't know how much of it you watched. Like, I don't know if you made it a point to watch it. My father-in-law, yes. Brother-in-law, big hockey fans. Alex, one of her weird traditions as a sports fan is she loves to watch the whoever wins any year. She likes to just watch them skate around with the cup. She thinks that's very cool. I think a lot of people do. The Thunder had to get pushed to the brink, but they were an outrageously good team all year. And then we know what it takes to win a World Series. We know the Dodgers exist, the Yankees exist, the Tigers are ridiculous right now, etc. More like you know what the rest of the league is doing around the Pirates. It feels cruel to ask that, and it just almost feels more accurate to say, like, what is the earliest window of time where we even think one of these teams could get back close to one of those games? The Penguins feel multiple years away, do they not, from even being a playoff team again? They still feel like at least a season, maybe two, before this thing bottoms out, then starts to come back up, then becomes a playoff outfit. The Pirates should be closer than anybody because of Skeens, because of eventually Chandler, and yet I know you guys have talked about this during the last week plus. Who's the most tradable guys on their roster right now? Who's going to fetch the most value in return? That's not the talk of a team that's going to win. And the Steelers, man, I just got done doing an hour of positive talk, and I don't take back a word of it, but like all that does is puts them maybe with a much more accomplished career passer in the same place they've been for a while, in that like churn it. The AFC is basically Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and then those fish at Pima Tuning that you throw bread to, and they're just like foaming. Joe Burrow, too, if you want to put him there. I guess Lamar.
Lamar.
So there's a Mount Rushmore, and then below them there's three teams, but they're all in that like sea of fish trying to fight for the couple specks of bread so that they can go against the big dogs. Steelers are still in there. They got a very shiny name running the show now at quarterback, but they're still in there. I just, the question felt, I guess, more insane than it ever has before.
The Steelers are the team, I guess, right now actually built to somehow catch lightning in a bottle. Like, their roster overall is the best of the three. They just have a 41-year-old quarterback, and they also don't have him beyond this season. If what he said today was true, they have to hit on the next guy that they select in the 26th draft, presumably in that first round, to get back into a real serious conversation. The Penguins, yeah, I think they are still a couple of years away from getting back to the playoffs, but they at least have the combination of great player, who is still great. I think Sidney Crosby is still classified
as top 5 to 7 player in the
league. An elite player.
At worst.
And even though we haven't seen Kyle Dubas in this setting like we saw with Rutherford and Shiro when the Penguins were winning cups 10 to 15 years ago, less than 10 years ago, but close to it, they could at least go for it and still circle things around Sidney Crosby. The Pirates, the most frustrating team because they have the best young player of all the teams in this city by a wide margin.
Mm-hmm.
Behind Sidney Crosby, Paul Skeens is the best individual athlete in Pittsburgh. The front office gives you absolutely zero hope that they will build a true contender with him.
I'm going to tell you coming up next who I actually think is closest, okay? I saw Donnie do this yesterday. I saw the morning show. That's just solid radio 101, boys and girls. You're out there wanting to be the next Donnie Football, the next Malzi. Even you actually want to be the next Adam Crowley. Okay, I mean, like, you know, I might try to warn you off of that particular post, but whatever. That's what you should do. Who's the closest to winning a title? You just saw somebody win a title in the NBA. I think it's just as cruel of a question, as cruel of a time to ask the question as there's ever been. PM team, Chris Muller, Ponies on Vacation, medieval times for Pony yesterday. He sent a classic Pony Morse, what would we call it? Morse code? No, telegraph, right? He sent one of his classic tweets about Aaron Rodgers. He's finding a happier work-life balance. So you're dealing with me. And I just was laughing. I don't know. I was laughing very hard yesterday seeing the who's closest to winning a title thing go down. By the way, I do have to put Pony's tweet out there, though. It made me laugh like somewhat hysterically when I read it out loud. It was, I was pissed at myself for missing Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee for about 5 minutes. Every time I stop talking, you can imagine there's a period in there. I'm not going to say period over and over. Then I realized I'm on vacation with my family at the beach. So my job, that's the one. So my job and the Steelers can wait. I caught myself. I'm making progress. A life-work balance is important. I think he needed a period after balance. A life-work balance, period, is important, period.
Brian Batko also pointed out a period after Steelers would have really hit well. And the Steelers.
Period.
Can wait.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's on a massive beach, dude. See how much, like, just real estate there is until, like, you get to the water?
It looks like they're
a
mile back.
Right? That's what I mean.
They're making poor Stella have to walk a half mile to hit some water.
Big-ass beach. I hope he just took the picture from, like, right where he walked off, like, the, you know, like, probably the walk down, the walkover. God, that is a long-ass walk.
And it's not like there was room taken up in front of them. There's not umbrellas or towels everywhere.
If that's where he just decided to post up, Amanda should, like, seriously consider getting his head checked. I said I was going to say, even though I found the question funny bordering on cruel about which Pittsburgh sports team is best positioned to win a championship next, I am going to answer the question. And I think maybe suggesting that it might surprise people probably gave it away. Or maybe it didn't. I think it's the Penguins, Don. And they might have the most work to do in terms of, like, turning over a roster, in terms of getting just much younger, cheaper, better, building around Sidney Crosby, rebuilding, finding, you know, deciding what they're going to do. Kyle Dubas has a bunch of choices to make about Erik Karlsson. This coming year is going to be Malkin's last. What are they going to do with Letang long term? Like, because he wants to play into his 40s. And yet, here's the thing. And I don't think Dubas, by the way, has done a particularly great job yet. I would not give him super high marks. You know what they're giving you, though, that the other two teams aren't, just given how long each respective brain trust has been in place? You're not really getting anything different from the Steelers or the Pirates as far as how they approach things. Pirates is always going to be a tough one to sell people because there's the economics of the game. Even if they were spending closer to, I think, what people here want, which is in the 130 to 140 range, you'd still be way down at the wrong end of it. So that's always going to be an impediment. And also, we've seen Ben Cherington on the job for 6 years. He's done very little to inspire any confidence that he actually knows what he should be doing here. That's one. And then who are the principals making the decisions ultimately with the Steelers? It's still Art Rooney. Yes, Omar Khan's in there. Yes, Andy Wiles in there. But it's still Art and it's still Mike. And it's still a lot of the same MO type things. The same, this is how we always do it. This is how we've always done it. I'm not suggesting here that the Penguins have some sort of boy genius running the show as their GM. Because it's TBD whether Kyle Dubas pulls off this rebuild and this retool. But I feel like there's a freshness there, like something could happen. He could make a very interesting trade coming up here. He could, because I'm not so jaded by his overall like length and his tenure of performance here. I'm not so jaded to think, this is how it's always going to be under Kyle Dubas. I guess just strap in and enjoy the mediocre ride here. And it's not going to be, you might win 2 games in a first-round playoff series. There's a little bit of an open-endedness to that book that I think doesn't exist for me as much for a variety of reasons with either of the other two teams.
I think it was John Parrotto. He brought up a pretty good point I saw on Twitter about this, how people can bring up the Guardians and how they want the Pirates to be modeled more after them. It's something that I've done. I'm sure that you and Pony have done it because, yeah, that team does have success in a market that is similar size to this. They are able to win a lot of games, go to the playoffs pretty regularly for their size. Yeah, they spend a little bit more, but he brought up the point, even if they do spend a little bit more and they have success like the Guardians have, they haven't won a World Series in over 75 years. Another team I think of, Milwaukee, who they're playing this week. Like, that's another organization I would like the Pirates to model their system after a little bit. It's not like they're collecting championships. The Rays are like the ideal one. They've gotten close.
They got real close.
A couple of times.
You get to the World Series, you got, by definition, very close.
But even there, they're not collecting titles. Baseball's really tough. Not only is it tough with how the ownership goes about things here, but just how the game is laid out. The whole economics of baseball is really tough against a team like the Pirates.
I think those things work against the Pirates. I think the Steelers, I mentioned like the brain trusts here for each team. The Pirates and the Steelers, it's too much of the same ideas and the same stuff. The Pirates had a chance with Skeens and so far have just not even close to taking advantage of it. The Steelers, we know how they operate. Even if they do little things different here, different there, they operate kind of the same way. They still have to find a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is Mr. 2025. We have no idea what happens beyond that. If they're really going to put any stock in Will Howard, I think that would be a bold choice, Cotton, because he's a 6th-round pick for 2026 and beyond. I look at Dubas and I say, your best player is still really, really great and might still be really, really great for 3 more seasons or whatever. For the balance of his remaining contract, he could very well outperform it to a Tom Brady-like level. At least there is the chance, and maybe it seems like the will, to turn over the roster and try to rebuild it. You've got an arduous run to a Stanley Cup to get there. You've got to win all those games. You've got to win all those series. You saw what the Panthers did and how impressively they've been built. And you have to basically hit on every single move. But it feels more possible with them than it does with the other teams, which doesn't really fill me with happiness to say because I think they're really far away. Follow us on Twitter, at 93.7TheFan. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Don, guess what? First 2 finalists have been selected. And now it's time to see who's next up on the fan. Come out to the Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg this Thursday, the 26th, from 7 until 9 p.m. to audition and see if you're the next host we hire here on the fan. You'll get 2 minutes to give your best, most entertaining take. And we are going to pick 2 winners to go on to our final audition. Do not miss your chance Thursday, this Thursday, from 7 to 9 at Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. More info, dates, locations is all at 93.7thefan.com. You know who's going to be there doing some judging Thursday night?
You, Mulsey?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get out there.
I know. That's your neck of the woods.
I think yes, it is.
If I go and I'm speeding and one of Westmoreland's finest patrolmen pulls me over and I say, listen, I work for the fan, but more importantly, I know Donnie Chedrick, Donnie Football. Think that might help? Officer pulls
down. Would probably depend on who it is, and hopefully they listen to the show.
Pulls down the aviator shades and goes, Donnie Football, sir, get in your car. I'll give you the escort to the Iron Rock Tap House. I was just giving intern Dom some feedback. I probably hit him with harder feedback than I've given anybody. I hold intern Dom to a very high standard. He asked me to listen to something he did on the air. And I was I too harsh on him?
No.
I thought I was very constructive. And I thought I tried to also on today's show live what I preached to him, practice what I preached.
He's a big boy. He's a Syracuse kid.
I mean, he's not a big boy. I mean, he's like 5'7", what, 140 pounds?
That's probably pretty close.
That's generous, maybe.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know what that music means, folks. It's time for a checkup on the Bucko Auction House. Donnie and I are not going to bastardize the format, although we didn't do it last time either. We ran it by everybody. All parties agreed that it was three fair auction items. I could have come up with three more today, and we could have bid on them, but I think that gets a little messy, Don. So instead, we're going to do a Bucko Auction House checkup to see how this is going. You guys know the drill. We pick a category. We start the bidding either going up or going down, depending on what the category is. And then somebody ends up stuck with a player and a statistical milestone that they must hit. I will say on this particular front, it did not look good for our buddy Pony. This was one of our four, our special super Bucko Auction House opening day items. This one looked very bad. But I can put it on the board for him today in bold. Pony got, I think, a ridiculously good number here, it turns out, in the end. David Bednar, over 10 saves. He needed 11 to win. The Renegade himself got save number 11 last night, Don. Here's how it sounded when Pony put one on the board.
Bednar comes to the set. Here's the 2-2. Swinging a ball punched into right. Reynolds coming on. He'll make the catch. And the Pirates hang on. And they beat the Brewers in Milwaukee. 5-4 to open the series here tonight.
I'll give Bednar credit. He went down to the minors and he did figure it out. Like, I think that usually when it's a guy who has struggled the way that he has over the past, really, I'd say year plus, year and a half, certainly down from his best times with the Pirates. When a guy goes down to the minors like that, I think there's a reasonable expectation that you're never going to see him pitch truly meaningful innings again. Whatever was bothering him or whatever was off, he actually did get it figured out. And I don't think that happens necessarily very often. The control is back. That was a bit of a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride save. He was, what, about 15 feet of a ball hooking from blowing that save because that one got hit a long way. Then he obviously, what, benefited from something that I'm completely blanking on right now, Donnie, because I watched the game last night and yet am completely spacing out. He got benefited from a caught stealing. I don't know why I could not like bring that phrase into my brain. I don't think it was like particularly impressive. A single, a walk in the same inning, that usually is a recipe for disaster, but I'll give him credit. Got a strikeout looking and got a pretty lazy fly ball. Greg Brown on the TV side called it like it was going to drop in and Reynolds made this all-time catch. Pretty standard baseball play there. But Pony got his 11th save for Bednar. He's one in the black now. Doesn't at all compare, by the way, to your Enmanuel Valdez over 10 runs batted in win. But it's up there.
And that's an all-timer, and obviously it was sad news for Valdez in his season, but
yeah, we were bummed for him,
man.
For sure. Very bummed for him. How's his Pirates wins under Don Kelly, though, looking? Kelly took over when they were 12-26. They're now 32-48. They're 2 games under .500. They've won 20 games with him. Pony needs to get to 55 to win that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in that same boat because I was the sucker that took them to win 74 games.
Yeah, I think you're dead. I think you are DOA,
so I didn't want to go anywhere near any other win number the rest of the way.
I'm a little troubled now about my – at first I thought it looked very good, my Henry Davis over 7 home runs this season. I'm feeling a little squeamish about that one. Here's the real one that I think we're going to be watching closely now. You got over 12 wins for the Pirates in the month of June, my friend. You need 13 Pirates wins this month. Do you know what number you're at? Have you been tracking?
I don't know what number we're at.
They are 10-11 in June. Can they squeeze 3 more wins out for you? Do you think they got it in them?
Man, a sweep this to start this week would be great.
I'm going to tell you,
I would feel really good going into tomorrow with Skeens on the hill if they win tonight too.
All right, so you got Skeens tomorrow. Although he's pitching against Mizorowski or whatever, the kid who's like already thrown him, he's throwing the ball roughly a billion miles an hour. So you've got Skeens tomorrow. You still feel very good about that. That would get you to 11 even if they lost tonight. Then you got 3 at home with the Metropolitans, though. I wouldn't feel great about that if I were you, do you?
They'll oddly take 2 out of 3 when they have no business doing it.
That would
get
you to 13. You'd be in. Because I'll tell you what I want this to come down to, honestly, on just for show purposes. Nothing would crack me up more than you needing to either push or win, then beat the Cardinals on June 30th. I could just see the Cardinals ripping your guts out and either costing you a point or, like, causing it to be a push. Have they played? This is the thing I can't figure out. They're 10-11 this month, and I know we go into how much better or at least more competent they've looked under Don Kelly. You know what, though? Like, I'm still seeing some of the same stuff that annoyed me. The run differential's better. They're -4 in run differential. They're basically playing like the team they're supposed to be. They're about a 500 team with about a 500 run differential. As much as I would say Greg Brown was maybe looking for something to go after O'Neill Cruz for, he did admittedly still, like, not do something fundamentally right. I'm not even talking about when he just lets the ball go. But once the ball goes by him, he just stands there sulking. He's not going to be the fastest guy to the ball there at that point anyway. I'm talking about the throw home yesterday. He probably could have circled around behind it and gotten it off a little quicker. That's probably a small fundamental coaching thing. And then what the hell is Horwitz doing at first base on that bang-bang play that ended up going their way?
Yeah, and then there was the discussion about how good of a stretch it was.
Kevin Young, who was a slick, slick fielding first baseman. I watched the guy growing up. He was great with the glove. He said, oh, he stretched out to get it. He had his wrong foot on the base. He just stood there. It was the complete antithesis of a stretch. They're playing better under Don Kelly, but let me put it this way. If we're going to have broad-based discussions about whether this run so far under Donnie Kelly is like saving Charrington's job or should guarantee that Don Kelly's the man moving forward, I haven't seen that yet. Have you? Do you feel like you've seen that level of baseball from them? Because I still have seen, I've seen better run suppression, but I wouldn't call it like great run output here.
No, they're just playing at a more respectable level. But then again, they were 12-26 when they made the change, so it was tough to, I guess, not meet that level. To Kelly's credit, they are looking better.
Yeah,
but are they better enough? Are they good enough to give you hope for him in the future? Now, Dan said yesterday with me, yeah, there's a reason why they never put the interim tag on there. It's pretty much a guarantee unless they would bring in a new GM who specifically says he wants his own manager.
So if Kelly's not managing for his job.
That's at least how it seems right now.
Does that, just devil's advocate here for a second, does that feel like good business, though, for them to do? Does that feel like the right strategy? The guy's never managed as a big league manager before, and you're going to not put the interim tag on him? You're just going to hand him a job? I think he's done reasonably well with it, all things considered, and he's definitely won people over by showing that he gives a crap, which I felt like Shelton had sort of, he had pulled the, who was it? Doug Peterson in Jacksonville by the end, where Peterson, screw it. We called the plays. They didn't run them. Like, Peterson had clearly had punched the clock and had walked out the door. And I think Shelton had done that too, but I don't think it's great business to tell a guy who's never been a big league manager. He's got experience sitting as a bench coach, and I get all that, but like, he's never been a big league manager, and you're just going to say, here's the job. You're not even the interim guy. You're the guy. Wouldn't you want a little kind of like sing for the supper here? Like, show us that you deserve this job.
Right. I would have liked to have this be more of a tryout. Now, I mean, maybe it is. Maybe it is, but Dan said there's a reason why they did not put the interim tag there.
I know. I don't agree with it, I guess, is my point. So shout outs to Pony.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.